Nailed it. Right, go on live. Quick, button. Ram's got to go. Quick. Did it.
And then
come on, connection. Don't be a twat. I've just checked you. Come on.
Free stream has got stuff coming through to it.
Oh, thank God. Is it roughly five?
Five, yes.
Fantastic.
Yeah. YouTube says we're excellent.
Oh, thank God.
I mean, it's near, clearly the algorithm doesn't actually look at our content.
Clearly. If it did, we'd be front page all the time.
That's like how I managed to, in that Eurotruck. Spotify, I've rolled my truck four times, got to the place, they still call my results satisfactory.
Yeah, I was like, mate, if that was anything more than rocks in the back of that trailer.
That was, I actually looked up, I actually went back through the footage and I paused it at the start just to see what we were actually taking. I think we're taking like copper chimneys. Something like that. Yeah.
They held up pretty good.
I mean, copper's not the hardest of known metals in the world. So
what were we saying you did? Did you do some of that what do they call it? Like aging it. Did you do the thing where you like rubbed shit over it and stuff
I made it look rustic is what you're saying.
That's the groove. That's what you did.
Yeah. I got there and they looked at it's all dangerous. I said it's rustic, it's twice the price now.
You don't realise, but that's what you asked for when you put it on the back of my truck.
Yeah. It was like a friend of mine said to me the other day, he said, I said, well, we're discussing lunch. He said, yeah. He said, what do you have lunch today? And he said to me, he said, oh, I had some peas and mint sauce. So I looked at him and I said, do you know, if this was a gastro pub, that'd be 50 quid.
Damn.
you get a plate about 14 inches across, and there'd be a small, about 8 peas in the middle with a little dab of mint sauce.
I was going to say, that's like a teaspoon. Boop, yeah. In the middle, job done. Make sure it's nicely there, and then a little drizzle going off the middle of the plate.
yes, exactly right.
The chef signs the name in the mint sauce.
Yeah.
£500.
It'd be cool to, like, you know, little petit pans with a mint infused jus.
And you're like, ooh, that sounds fantastic.
That does sound fancy.
Oh, what the hell is this? I'm going to have to remortgage my house for fucking peas out of a tin.
Yeah, exactly. G'day, man, on the Suffolk Ram.
Scasius.
Welcome to episode 220 of the Randers podcast.
God, blimey, 220, Governor.
Yes, Governor.
Nearly that 225, isn't it?
Well, we'll be in about 10 weeks.
God, mate, you say that, and I was like, God, it's not that long away. And you should go, 10 weeks. I was like, fucking hell, mate, that's ages away.
Yeah, 10 weeks. 2.5 months, you know, it'll nearly be winter.
I can't wait. I'm getting sick and tired of this heat.
You'll be close to know it's meant to rain tonight.
Oh, yes.
It's meant to absolutely bucket it down.
So all I'm going to say is, if you live in my area, stay away. I'm probably going to be running around singing and dancing like some kind of tribal native in my undies going, yeah!
I remember about 3 years ago, we had that spate of hot weather that went on for weeks. I know last year was hot as well, but this went on for like 3 months. It just never rained. I remember sitting at home one evening and all of a sudden just hearing the rain come over. I hadn't looked forward because it disappeared. I just could hear outside hitting the ground. I literally did run outside and just stood in it, my arms wide, staring up at the sky, going, oh, rain.
And I'm a bit like, I think he's... It's funny. The Holy Spirit has just fucking passed through him. It's like, no, it's not like that. Just literally, he hates the heat.
I hate heat. Yeah, it's lucky it's been hot, but it's not an uber hot. Well, it's been cool overnight.
Ish.
It has gradually the last few weeks. It's gone from, you know, pajamas under covers to pajamas not under cover to no pajamas, no covers.
Just exposure suit.
Birthday suit. Just to get that image into everybody's minds.
See, that's how hot it is.
That's how hot it is. Ram is sleeping naked. That's how hot it is.
He's like fucking, his bollocks are stuck to his leg.
Yeah, That happens.
Pooling sweat around him, the sheets peel off with him.
Oh, it's like if you've had a hot day, and it's been having experiences with socks at the moment. You get home and you try and take your socks off and they peel off.
I was going to say, as you wring them out.
Yeah, you're just sort of like, oh, they feel so good but so disgusting at the same time.
Like, peel your shirt off your back.
Oh, apparently, according to Time Is, today is drought day. I just want to say
is it?
Apparently, no.
I didn't realise we had a day for that.
Yeah, drought day.
Oh, happy drought day, Ram.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the United Nations Day. Yeah, thank you, United Nations. That's
you say, isn't
day.
That like everything to do with, isn't that everything to do with most places in Africa or Dubai?
I would imagine
Dubai's
so.
Got a water problem.
Well, they did build a tower in the middle of a desert. I mean, you're setting yourself up to failure there, aren't you, really?
But it was a fantastic place for Spec Ops The Line. So
It was.
I'll give them that.
But it's okay. They're hiring all the Timberborn players to go over there and sort it out.
Uh-oh. just want to throw out there, is that going to be like Nicktopia 12 then? What happened to Dubai? Well, there's a new town about 5 miles south.
Called Dubai as well. It's like, what? What's this big place then? That's nothing.
Just leave that as the... It's the industrial zone.
Yeah. There is a new Cities Skylines coming out. In fact, it's coming out soon.
I did see that. So when are we going to see the next generation of Nicktopias?
Nicktopia 13 is going to be on the way.
I can't wait. I really liked City Skylines. Not really my kind of groove, to be honest, but that's a nice, solid game. Everyone complaining that there's like a morgue or an incinerator next door to where they live. Not my problem.
Yeah, I'm making affordable housing.
Yeah. Well, what about, my house is like, I don't know, well underneath the floodplain. Then sell it. Sell it to who? What about Aquaman?
It's all right, people. We formed the Alliance of Atlantis. We've solved the housing crisis.
You guys are fine. We've found people who, they're looking to transition, but they don't want to go all the way. Your house is great.
Yeah.
It might only be worth $1.50 to everyone else, but to them... It's gold.
Yeah. The downside is you are going to all have to move to the volcano. I am sorry.
I was going to say, that's what my house feels like right now anyway. Fucking sweating my nuts off like I've jumped into an active volcano.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Don't worry. We'll be hitting the main summer soon. don't we love it? Yay.
Yeah.
Yay.
British summer's my best in the world.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, yeah. Having said that, I follow on the subreddits I follow is the aircon engineer subreddit, because I like watching these people go off and do their big industrial stuff. And sure. there's one guy, they occasionally, when it gets the hot weather, they'll post pictures of their thermometers in attics they're working in. And one guy posted a thermometer, and it was in Fahrenheit. I converted to Celsius, and it was nearly 50 degrees.
Not ideal.
And he's up there working in that attic for, oh my word, I just don't think I could do it.
Mate, I can't even handle 35.
Yeah, imagine working 50 degrees.
No thank you. No fucking thank you. Like, I said to people today, like, oh, no, I went today, it was a couple of days ago, and I was complaining about the heat. No, well, how much is it? And I was like, look, I'm not going to give it to you in freedom units, your American Fahrenheits or whatever it is. You can have it in good old fucking Celsius. It's fucking hot. Right? And they're like, okay, cool. Well, that's kind of normal here. I was like, right, do you want to know what kind of normal is for me? I live on the coast. It's in the UK. I'll take a nice 5 degrees Celsius. That's good. That's shorts and T-shirts weather for me. Anything more than that, get in the bin, son. I don't live in Hawaii. I'm not African. I don't know what that big fireball in the sky is. Take it away.
The trouble with our heat is we tend to get a very wet heat, whereas places like America, America's a big place, parts of America, but a lot of sort of like more hotter countries, it's a dry heat.
Yeah.
And dry heats feel a lot more comfortable than wet heats because you know, you can sweat.
Apparently Japan is miserable.
I can believe that.
During the summer.
I bet that must be absolutely muggy as hell. Mm-hmm. But that is the issue we have. The reason we complain so much about it, they were complaining like, oh, it's in, you know, in the high 20s or low 30s, we're complaining because it's very wet. It's you can't sweat.
It's so wet, we're almost drowning out there, goddammit.
It's, I always say to you, it's almost like you can feel yourself walking through the air. In a weird way, you can feel yourself like the resistance as you walk through the air when it's hot.
Yeah, for sure.
Whereas when it's dry and low humidity, you can't feel that anymore. It feels like you're just walking outside. That's actually fairly pleasant. You can handle a lot higher heat because you can regulate your body temperature easier. So that's what I think a lot of people forget. When they think about, oh, look at them complaining about the temperatures. Well, it's all to do with humidity. Humidity
God
is
damn
the bigger
those
thing.
Slimy limeys.
Yeah, relatively humidity is a far bigger factor than the actual temperature itself. So, what are you up to then, Skaz?
Absolutely bollocks all, Ram, because do you remember last podcast? I think you said in the last podcast, YouTube reckons it's only getting about 500K or something to that effect.
Something like that, yeah.
All right. And we're all going, ha, 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 stupid YouTube. What do you know? My internet died.
Oh, good.
My internet has decided during the heat wave to go, do you want to connect to the internet? And I'm like, yeah. And then it just looks at me, laughs, and then just switches itself off. I'm like, oh, okay, that's how this is going to be, huh? All right. I've got a house with kids in it. They don't understand that the internet needs to be plugged into something. Why did you have to die now? And it just goes, fuck you, mate. I've done my job. I'm having a break. It's like, no, you bloody well are not. Unplug, plug it back in. Woohoo! Internet connection's back up. 5, 4, 3, 2. It's gone again. Dad, the internet's gone in my room. No, it hasn't, mate. It's gone down in the entire house. But there's no internet in my room. It's like, yeah, mate, your room's not the only fucking one affected. It's gone down in the entire house. Well, can you fix it? I'm working on it. Can you get it back into my room? Mate, when I get it back in your room, it'll be back in every other fucking room. It's not like I've somehow managed to block off just your fucking room from the internet. Trust me at this point, I want to.
Well, yeah. I mean, you could unplug his network. I don't know if he's a wireless or network cable, but you could unplug
it. Oh, it's on wireless, mate. God, I wish. If I could run wired RAM right now, ooh, I'd be so happy.
Oh, we're wired for out. Lucky I insisted. Bastard. I insisted.
Dude, I need more cable. I need more cable, and I can't find my crimpy doobries. I can't remember what they're called. Where you have to,
crimpers.
Yeah, I can't find them. And I need to make longer cables, and I want to run one upstairs. I can't stand it.
I just ran a cable from my house next door to the main house, so you share one internet connection. I've just run a cable, right? Mm. And a cable I needed about 38 meters.
Did you splice like six cables together?
Well, no. I can either buy a 35 meter cable or a 50 meter cable. So I had to buy a 50-meter cable.
Look, I'm buying a 50-meter cable and that'll do. I'll just end up with a coil on the floor.
I've got a massive coil about yay big just coiled up in the corner of my room. It's like, I'm going to figure out a way to hide that. I could kind of crimp it, but I'm scared.
If you remember like all the old excess, like when we used to have like TV coming through the aerial and you'd always have that one room with that massive pile of coax in the corner.
Yeah. I'm just sort of like going to... I think I'm going to get like some sort of like... unit to go in the corner. I'm going to cut a hole in the back and sort of slide the cable in the back. It looks like it's not.
What I want you to do, I want you to get a unit, yeah, like with some drawers in the bottom, right? And I just want you to put it in the corner and then just hoof the cable into the back of the drawer. So then you go, oh, look at my cable drawer. And you just open it up and there's the big spooler cable, but it goes back out of the back of the cabinet.
Oh, just imagine the confusion. Someone says, oh, you've got an Ethernet cable. Yeah, it's in that drawer. Where's the end? One end goes to that house, one end is the back of the television.
Some of it's over there. Some of it's over there.
Yeah. I think
you
actually...
wanted one you could use. No, haven't got any of that. I've got quite an impressive length though.
Oh. Yeah. I think there's a Cat 6 and it's an exterior rated one as well.
You are.
I think there might be an issue with internet around here because we've been having internet issues as well.
Oh, I?
Yeah. I came home. I went to pick the dog up the other day from the house and my father was in. Then he goes, it's been flashing at me all day, referring to the router. And he goes, I'm having to watch Channel 4.
Whoa.
It's like, okay. It's like,
punishment.
He's watching Transformers. He's quite happy.
Oh, there you go.
And I'm sort of like, okay.
This is like back when you were a child.
it's like, I said, well, have you tried rebooting it? Yes. Well, there's absolutely nothing more I can just do to you because I'm not on the accounts. I can't speak to them.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, yeah.
So I said,
that's one of the same issues that we have here. Like, I'm not the account holder. The wife is, because I apparently get aggressive with people when things don't work out.
Yeah. So I said, unfortunately, I'm going to pass this back to the admin team, which is you.
So I just go to them, look. I'm sorry, I hate to say this, but turning it off and on again might be funny in the IT crowd, but believe it or not, I did go to university for comp sci. I do know how to operate networking.
Yeah. That's all comp sci was about, was turning it off and on again.
Pretty much, yeah. I was like, look, you may be running through your script, and whilst I appreciate your help, can we move to the next step? I've already done it all. Thank you.
Do you not normally, when they go through the scripts, are you normally start the lights or like potting around doing other things and just going,
yep, done it.
I remember spending 10 minutes on an IT table and tidying my bedroom up once, just talking to him, yep, doing that, yeah, it's rebooting now. Yeah, no, it's still not working. Yeah, no, it's not working yet. No, I've tried that. No, it's still not working. Yeah, I'll do it again for you. Yeah, that's fine. You know, hoover a little bit. Yeah, still not working.
It's just terrible.
Well, we have now been escalated to the level 2 team at BT Openreach.
Who are?
So we've already had two engineers come out to our place, and they thought it was a router. They've got a new router.
Yeah. Is that the home hub, super hub, magic hub too? Or
it's we're with PlusNet, so it's their own little router.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what theirs is called, you know, the PlusNet super duper fun hub or something. And we're now, they've also changed the master socket as well.
Oh, wow.
And we're now on to level 2. We've got another technician coming out on Monday.
Hopefully they don't have to change your line, because they just usually lift and shift and they fuck that up a lot.
Yeah, well, we'll have a look, because this is a level 2 technician, so hopefully he's one who actually knows what he's doing, rather than the person that he's like, give a screwdriver and a van to. So, look, here's your box of screwdrivers, here's your van, there's some electrical tape here for you, off you go.
Yeah, don't expect too much. I always said to a couple of my mates, I don't need fiber to the prem. I don't need it. So I could hold out. And then as soon as the internet started like failing, and then you contact the ISP, and the ISP goes, yeah, we're not giving you any new equipment. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? It's like, I've had this router now for like 200 years. Or sorry, this modem. Can I have a new modem? I was like, nah. No, you can't. I was like, okay, cool. Well, any idea when fibers come in then?
we're getting letters to the doors now, ask us to purchase fiber.
That's through Voda though, isn't it? And CityLink or CityFiber.
I've had letters from Vodafone. I've had letters from CityFiber, but but there's about 20 service providers who we can use. I went on the site and typed in our post. There's about 20 service providers we can use, of which PlusNet isn't one of them.
No, it doesn't. No.
No, so we are... Despite the fact that PlusNet say they do full fibre, not when you put our postcode in. It says no.
Sure. PlusNet will probably piggyback off of BT's fibre network when they put that in. They haven't finished blowing it yet.
Yeah, so we are... So we're in contract, PlusNet still for like another 9 months. So we can't do anything for 9 months anyway, unless we want to pay the contract out, which we're not going to.
Yeah, sure.
We're sort of stuck with them. But yes, eventually that is the plan. We'll get fiber when we get. I've seen people getting fiber put in around our area. Occasionally, the magic van turns up and a man comes and he puts his little thingy down the pole and gets it in, wires it all in, and usually parks in his van in a very awkward place.
Just to wind you up, so you think I'm gonna get fiber myself, just so I can punch you in the fucking face when you turn up at my door.
The first time we came down street fiber, and he parked his van opposite another car, and I was like, I'm not sure I want to get through there. Luckily, I've got cameras, so I was able to like sort of like see that I was just able to squeeze through. My sister came down a bit; she was following me behind. She came down, so I thought, and she, I had to actually sort of guide her through the gap. because it was like really tight. And the guy sat there, and I actually said, that was a bit of a challenge, wasn't it? And she's like, yeah, yeah. And I could see him sort of look over as he sort of gives a glance. Well, at this point, he was used the full fiber man. Because if he used the full fiber man, I wouldn't have pissed him off. Because I know when if he remembers our property, when he comes to put the fiber in, he's going to, like, you know, piss in it or something. I don't know.
Yeah, sure, I get it.
I've fucked up now, really, is what I'm saying. I've got to just hope that he gets a replacement before we have fiber put in. He's a sensation.
Mate. Are you looking forward to full fiber or?
Yes. I'll be good. Cool.
I mean, your stuff and download stuff and upload stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, because I've noticed YouTube, upload to YouTube is really slow these days. I must be
it's
there.
It's not then. Ideal. What is your upload anyway? About 15, 20?
I'm going to really upset if he's going to do a speed test right now.
Oh, no, here we go. Speed test live from the Suffolk Ram. Don't do it, Ram.
I'm clicking the button. I'm clicking it. It's starting.
Oh, no. Here we go. What's really funny is that, like, even like you doing that, that's probably the best quality line you've had in ages.
Oh, shit. That's really tank. That's not good at all.
What you got? Two?
going down 17.9, up 3.6.
Wow. Well, yeah, but you are using... to be honest with you, your cam didn't change or anything.
No. Your internet connection is fast, apparently.
For where? Fucking, I don't know.
America, probably.
The Congo?
Their internet connection is terrible over there.
The fucking Amazon rainforest?
Yeah.
Lowestoft?
That's probably... It says my server it tested me against was London...
And then someone will go, hang on. Don't you be talking about the Congo and Lowestoft in the same fucking sentence. You do know that they have adverts in the Congo for just £2 a month. You can sponsor a Lowestoftian child.
Yeah, we get shipments over occasionally, don't we? Of like clothes and stuff.
Hey, they got some nice stuff in the Congo.
Yeah.
Bless their cottons.
Isn't the Congo, is that where the cannibal tribes live? Or is that Papua New Guinea?
Mate, I haven't done geography in a bajillion years. I'm also British. The only thing that I know about the world is that we used to put flags all over it.
Did we used to own it? That's the sort of question
we've got. That is basically it.
I think we owned the Congo at one point. We own most of the world.
Were we in that general area? Probably. Do they hate us now? Most likely. Is it America? No? Then I like it, then.
It looks like it was French.
Oh, fuck the... See, there you go. Fuck the French. If they're in a shit heap now, it's the French's fault.
Yeah, they can't... for once, we can't be blamed for their shit heap. They can't blame us for that. For once.
They will do.
It's not our fault.
They'll blame us anyway. We get blamed for everything. It was the French. But they were white. But they were French!
It is the roast beef that's caused all the issues here.
And I'm like, oh, mate, no.
Oh, dear. So you've not
been
sorry,
guys. If you're having a hard time and you were once ruled by the French, I am so sorry.
Is that going to be a new thing? It's like, have you had issues where you once were ruled by the French? Well, you might be entitled to compensation. Call this free hammer now.
Wasn't Vietnam something to do with the French as well?
Quite possibly. Let's have a look. Viet. Who owned Vietnam?
Okay, I just almost spat coffee everywhere. Thanks, man. Who owned Vietnam? Not the Vietnamese.
Looks like it's part of French Indonesia.
Ha! The French again. Be gone.
Apparently, Vietnam was a lovely place to visit.
My brother was over there for a while. He's not come back. He absolutely loved it over there.
I've heard it's a really nice place to visit.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, perhaps we should go over there and buy some second-hand motorbikes and travel across the country.
Yes, let's do it. Never seen that before.
No. We should film and make a TV show about it.
Oh, randomly speaking of TV shows, Ewan McGregor and old Charlie Borman did another one of their long ways, didn't they?
Have they?
Yeah, long way up. On electric Harley Davidsons, of all things.
Oh, nice.
So they went from...
Do Harley Davidsons make electric versions?
They do now.
I can't imagine their clientele enjoying that, because what are they going to fit their big tubes to?
Yeah, I know. Well, you can just put a card on the wheel. That's what the wife said. Like, they're just going to put a playing card on it.
Oh, yes, they do. I've just Googled electric Harley Davidsons. They do indeed. Oh, my word.
They were riding, they had prototypes for the show.
Yeah. The two they've got here don't look quite like, well, that looks more like a normal Harley there.
They look more like standard like road bikes, don't they? Or like, yeah. The kind of thing that I'd have taken.
Well, not what I would call, what is it what they call, not what they call, is it a cruiser, what they call a Harley?
Yeah.
They look like a cruiser to me.
Yeah, sure.
There's me and my vast bike knowledge coming through there.
Look at that legend.
Yeah. All I know about bikes is there's a cruise one where you sit like you're on a sofa, and then there's the ones that you sit forwards like you're about to go flying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So you're thinking of sports bike and couch on wheels.
I always think the sports bike one, so that when you hit something, you just go through the windshield automatically because you're in the point
that
pose.
That is basically it, yeah. You are already prepared to just eat floor.
Le Mans flying!
Crash! Gone.
Fair enough. Right,
but so far, though, the internet's held up.
It's
not told me that it's had a hissy or anything yet.
Well, that's a good thing, isn't it? That's a good thing.
So, because I've been pulling my hair out with lack of internet connection and builders coming round because I've got water coming in. Woo!
Lovely.
I've not really played anything. I have, but nothing. I'll talk about it in another podcast. What have you been doing, Ram, mate?
So, a few things.
You are. No, you finally figured out how to kick that kid?
No, I've just like I've decided I'm going to leave the rose-tinted goggles on Sleepwalker. I've not going to destroy my life anymore thinking about
you're
it.
You're taking on Shodan?
No, I'm not taking on Shodan. No, I'm not taking on Shodan. What I've been doing, well, there's a few things actually I want to talk about. A couple of things really. So, bit of sort of like something we haven't discussed for a while. We very rarely talk about Warhammer 40k on this podcast. Very rarely mention it.
Are you telling me you like Warhammer, Ram?
I do like Warhammer 40k. It's like in the same way that we hardly ever mentioned Hyperdimension Neutunia.
Never heard of it.
We never have mentioned that. We very rarely mention War 40k. Well, 10th edition comes out in next week. And
wait,
you may
10th edition?
Yes. You may remember back to the misty past of 2020. We had 9th edition come out.
Yeah, I was going to say, you were only just talking about how rad there was a rework for your... I think I remember that there might have been a thing that you were talking about that might have been Warhammer that we've never spoken of before.
So, back in 2020, 9th edition came out, and it was for them, it was a massive success, but it was also ripped with issues at the time. Warhammer took off dramatically in 2020 because something happened. I can't remember what it was, but a lot of people had free time and some disposable income on their hands.
It was beautiful, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I can't remember what happened, but something happened and we all had to stay at home. And that was
Just Eat launched and we all figured we'd beta test it.
Yes, there we go.
We were server testing Just Eat.
Yeah. And just saw a recap. When they launched the Indomitus box set, and that was the one that sold out on their website in like less than I think 3 minutes on their website. That was the one that there was another company who had so many people trying to order it, their website basically couldn't keep up, and what it did was it effectively oversold because it was like it couldn't handle the amount of requests going through.
The checkout system kind of had a bit of a...
Yeah, and they have to actually go through their logs and assign the box sets by the millisecond.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they actually put a post up on the same day saying, Our website couldn't cope. We didn't expect it was going to be like this. Our website couldn't cope, and we fucked up, and we're going, like, sorry, guys. Because, you see, with Live Edition, there was no restriction on how many you could buy, so it's open to sculpers. There was no sort of life, nothing. But they didn't expect it to be as popular as it was, frankly. They made more copies of it than anything out than they ever had before. They just did it. I think they sold in that, like, opening, they produced more copies of it than the previous version in its entire life, in, like, its entire, like, run.
Mm-hmm.
And it still sold out. I mean, I managed to get one, locate one from a local, from the local Games Workshop store in Norwich. I also had to get mine from them, fortunately.
I remember, I remember you saying you went in to get it.
Yeah, I had to go and get it because I had to ring them up. I long went, like, dead on 12 o'clock as soon as the doors opened. I rang them up and managed to reserve a copy. So it was an absolute... So they obviously weren't expected to be like this. And so it was a bit of a PR disaster because it's a two-week lead time for pre-orders and they sold out in 3 minutes. And what they actually did was because obviously people scalped it, people put them, like, the pre-orders up online. Before they'd been released, they put up like £400 or £500. And I think
I've seen that kind of shit happen loads.
Well, Games Workshop, fuck those guys over.
Good.
What they did was, okay, we all know the popularity of this. We're going to launch a made-to-order offer. And so for the next, like, 2 months, you can order it and we'll actually make a copy for you.
Wow.
Yeah, and they made it made. I think it was like 2 months. So basically, everybody could get a copy. That was their solution. So they learnt from that. They learnt heavily from that. So they produced more copies. So the new edition is called Leviathan. The box set's called Leviathan. And it was went up for pre-order last week. And they learnt from their mistakes. And what they did this time was when you signed on. So I was at the farm the day it was going to get for pre-order. So I was at the farm. I literally about... Their pre-orders go live at 10 a.m. UK time. Mm-hmm. So I literally grabbed my, I had my laptop with me. I literally grabbed it, walked past the boss, said, I'm borrowing the office. I may be some time. And so I looked at me, he's like, okay then. So
the tissues and the lotion are in the top drawer.
Yeah. So sat myself in the office, set it up, went to the website about 9:45. And what they did this time was they had a queuing system set in place.
Okay.
And what was quite neat about it was that if you went on before 10 o'clock, anyone who was online before 10 o'clock, when the queuing started, it was randomised where you were in the queue.
Okay.
So if you went on Saturday, so there was no benefit to going on 2 hours earlier or going on 2 minutes. Yeah, there was no benefit to it. You weren't in the queue at that point. So I sat there at 10:02 and eventually I got on a, it automatically refreshed, put me in the queue, and... Basically, once you're in the queue, once your turn came up, you had 10 minutes to make your purchase. And then if you didn't make a purchase in 10 minutes, you got pushed back to the next person in the queue. They thought about it. And I sat in my queue and said, you're in the queue. You're going to be about, a wait is over an hour. It's like, okay then. So I had a progress bar. And you know how much I trust progress bars. And it's like, it says it's going to be over an hour. But is it really? Have I really got time to go and do? Because presumably they're working on the basis that everybody's going to take 10 minutes to make their purchase. What if people are really quick and they're doing it in 2 minutes? That progress bar might rapidly go up. So it's like, do I go and do the rest of my jobs or do I wait? So I waited for a little bit. When it wasn't actually moving very fast, I thought, oh, fair enough, I'll go do my other jobs. I still managed to get back in time. In the end, I sat for 2 hours before I actually got through when my turn came up, which I didn't think was too bad, actually.
That's pretty solid.
Yeah, and I was able to order myself my copy, no issues, order it all. They now support PayPal Pay and Free, which is fantastic.
Oh, yeah, mate. Lifesaver.
Yeah. So, and it's very reasonable price, £150. Very reasonable. Yeah. For Games Workshop, so you get the box.
I was going to say, they have a lot of stuff that's well expensive.
Yeah, they are. They're basically crack cocaine for people who don't want to do drugs. And
yeah.
£150, you know, you get like, I think it's like 75 models. You get a limited edition book, copy of the rule book. You get like sort of background information, but mainly you buy it for the models, is what you're mainly buying it for. But it was, and you tend to get like those models only exist in that box.
Yeah.
Sometimes they'll release them later on as separate kits, but a lot of time you can only get them in that box. They also have like it's not like you can't buy that unit out of the game, but the unit you buy in a normal box set isn't the same as that one.
Yeah, it's sure,
not
okay.
Different. Yeah. So I thought that was very reasonable, paying for it. I was like, oh, good. And I did actually go on later that evening just to see what the status of it was. And I was still able to queue up. And that evening, about 9:30, you could still queue up and you could still buy a copy.
That's so neat.
So they probably learnt then. They properly learnt. And I think because there's rumours they're going to do, like, you know, if it's too much demand, they would do go back to, you know. Oh, and there was also, you can only buy one copy per person, per customer.
Ah, there you go.
So instantly, if you were scalping it, that instantly slows you down. Because it doesn't matter if you've got 20 copies in the queue, you're still slowed down. Mm-hmm. So that certainly helped a lot. They sold out. They did sell out. They didn't sell out sort of like late Sunday, which is compared to like 3 minutes last time, less than 3 minutes last time to being sold out in like, you know, 36 hours. That's a bit more reasonable. So it's that's coming out. So that'll get delivered. That release is technically on the 24th. So I should have it physically of me next week, which is very cool. They've redone a lot of the. You can actually download the rules now if you want. They released them like a week and a half ago. Just the rules, like the basic rules, you can download them now and start. And they've basically rejigged how the whole game works. So in the past, you'd have your codexes and stuff, all your stats would be in your codexes and what you need. They now have gone down this route of what they call index cards, and basically you can still buy there'll still be a codex to buy, and the codex is like an army book for your army of background lore, paint tips, how to build and so forth, and special rules.
You've got your Blood Bowl stats card then. It's like a card with each of your units, their stats, basic roles you'll need and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So they basically, they popularized it. They sort of went down this route in Age of Sigmar, which is their fantasy game, where they use what they call War Scrolls, and that's basically the same idea. The War Scroll has, you know, your unit, its stats, all the weapons it can be equipped with. Mm-hmm. They've split stats up now, so stats are now by the weapon. So anything related to the weapon, using that weapon, is in the weapon stat block. So whereas before, like the roll to hit used to be on your unit stat block, now it's the weapon stat block. But that's for that. Each unit's data card will have all the weapons it can carry for that unit, and it'll tell your stats. So you basically, as long as you've got this card, you can tell everything you need to know for that unit. It's on that one bit of card. Everything you need, all the special rules are on there. It's all and how the units compromise. Everything's in one place. So you're going to be buying, and they popularized with Age of Sigmar of their War Scrolls. They've now sort of pulled it across over to 40k.
Sure.
And they look vain. But what the best bit about when Warhammer comes out is the fact that Warhammer fans are amazing. They'll all buy it, but they all moan and complain and whinge about every single little thing about it.
Yep.
And at some point, they'll all say, they fucking ruined it. Because they all did. It's kind of like
with D&D as well. They do that like every single version.
Yeah.
It's never as good as that version that came out back in like the 1700s.
Yeah. I want the version where I have to roll 20 dice just to see if I can open a door. That's the best version.
Well,
what did you do in this version? You say open the door. That's boring. How do I not know if I don't, as I try to, I don't trip over the paving slab and break my nose and die?
How do I know that I don't trip, then fall? How do I know that fall doesn't cause me to bruise, break my nose, hemorrhage?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, wait, so do you need a dice for every single one of those? Yes.
Look,
otherwise it's not good enough. I want more details. Why can't you just go, I tripped? Yes or no? I hurt myself. Yes or no?
I'm a nerdy tabletop gamer. Anyways, I like a table with stats and figures on it. I like tables like that. However, I appreciate them. They slow games down.
Yep.
But, yeah. So people could play. What's hilarious, but watching it because they released it. So what they did was because it's a rejig of how everything works. They've basically released what they call. You can download the indexes. Which are like their mini codex, basically. They're the codexes. For every like army, they release them. So you can download them and have all sets you need to play. Because otherwise, whereas in like between 8th and 9th, the basic stats didn't change enough. So you could use an 8th edition army codex with the 9th edition, it would work. it may be weaker because some of the older rules wouldn't work so well, or you know, the things have been read. Obviously, that code's really balanced for the new edition, but you could use it.
Yeah, sure.
From 9th to 10th, the changes are so dramatic you can't do that. You need an index. So the index is basically are a mini codex that you can download that have all the stuff you need, so you can now use your army in 10th edition until your actual proper codex gets released. Sure. And the best bit is, so they release the indexes. So two ways that more armies are balanced in Warhammer is you have, obviously, the normal stats. You also have the most common way to balance armies is points. Every model's given a points value, and that basically represents how effective they are on the battlefield. And you'll then say, well, I'm going to have a 2,000-point game, and all the models add up to 2,000 points. That's your army. So points are where they balance it, really. You can have a unit that looks like, on paper, real shit, but might only be worth a couple of points. So you can have 100. So you can,
like, loads of numbers. Yeah. Up by numbers.
Exactly. So the index of Stargame release, they released the Space Marine indexes, I think it was Monday. The rest of the Imperium, so Imperial Guard, AdMech, Sisters of Battle, all the other sort of Imperium factions on Tuesday. Tuesday was all the Chaos Space Marine factions. Then Wednesday was all the Imperial factions. And then Thursday were the Xenos factions, the only factions, which is what I was waiting for because I play a Xenos army. I play the Tau. But it came out and they had no point, and then the points weren't going to get released till Friday. And everybody, every subreddit on the things were whinging and complaining about, oh my God, I can't believe this. They look so shit. What the fuck are they doing? Why have they changed that stat there? Oh, that's really good. Oh, they've improved this. But why am I fucking, it's all fucking all across the board. Everybody's complaining about it. Then the points come out. And it's like, oh, actually, they've made it a lot cheaper. That actually makes sense now. Oh, good. Guys, just fucking wait.
Nah, can't do that. Pure emotion, all reactionary.
Yeah, it is. It's like full-on reactions. Oh, that strat I used in the previous one is no longer viable. Well, I best want to fucking sell my army then now, aren't I? Why?
I've seen a paragraph or a three-second kind of stinger trailer. Fuck it, you've ruined it. It's over.
Yeah.
You've made an announcement. Fuck, man, it's never going to be as good as way back when. Fuck you. It's over. Stop ruining my game. You fucking... Yeah, no, I get it.
Absolutely. It was hilarious watching people just go absolutely mental over it. And there were some apparently dodgy things that people spotted that they've already... Because the other thing they use with Raw Scrolls and with their cards is... They have an app that ties in, and they will actually patch it on the go.
Okay.
So the app will patch and update the data cards with the new versions. So the idea is, when you go to a tournament or something, you should actually have the app, rather than have your codex with you, you should have the app with you, because they'll actually update it. And as that stuff comes out from all the various tournaments and so forth, if they spot like there's a combination that they haven't thought about, because when you've got like 20 different armies. And you've got a common set of rules, there's going to be combinations that are devastating. Comes out.
You can play test as much as you want, but you never know what the end user is actually going to do with it.
And let's face it, although Games Workshop are a very big company, they ain't got that many playtesters in Nottingham. And then you release it onto the world of hundreds of thousands of playtesters. That seems a little bit different. So they've already patched one because there's apparently, I haven't looked at the maths on this, there's two types of runes in Warhammer. You've got normal runes, you have like mortal runes. And mortal runes are, normal runes you can save against, you can roll save. Mortal runes, you basically just take them. You can't do anything about it, you just take them, they're gone. So they're called the most damaging runes. The idea is it represents like really powerful weapons. I mean, if your guy gets hit with like a missile designed to destroy a spaceship, it doesn't matter how good his armor is, he's not going to survive that.
Sure.
There's just a concept of invulnerable saves, which sort of like do counter that. But mortal runes basically represents, it's a rune you can't save against. Apparently there's this one unit that could dish out 120 in a turn. They've patched that. They fixed that one already. Literally, the main game hasn't actually released yet. They've already patched it.
Good job. But
it also, everything will get patched again anyway once they have their first tournament. And I'd much rather it work like that, where they want to keep more like a living, breathing game where they'll like respond and fix things as they go, because they can't test it all, as you say. So I'm interested to see what they do after. The first tournament that uses 10th edition rules is middle July in America. So I'm interested to see what comes out after that. Obviously, tournaments aren't the greatest way, because trial tournaments, they try to play as you only want to. There's really, you can probably split, like most game players, into two types. You've got the casual players and you've got the competitive players. And the competitive players will just find the most devastating combinations, and they'll take an army that's basically just mathematically the best, but it just looks bullshit. You know, it's an army. It's like,
yeah, at one point, they'll find a meta and go with it.
Yeah. Tau have these little like drone things, the hover drones. They were very cheap in points. And basically, there was a point where the best way to play Tau was you had to have an HQ unit and you had to have troop shoots. So basically, you'd have an HQ unit, like one troop unit, and the rest you just have drones everywhere. And you have so, although individually they were shit, when you've got like 50, when you've got like 100 of them,
yeah,
mass numbers work. And it looks shit. It looked crap. But if you're a competitive player, it's what you do. I don't like that play because I find it boring.
Sure.
I think it's also boring, so I much prefer the, you know, an army that's got a bit of a mixture of units in it, a bit bad, you know, it may not necessarily be the most technically on paper the best army you can have, but it's a fun army to play with, fun to play against, so I much prefer that style. So I'm in the casual category for my players, but I don't want to be in the competitive category. It just looks absolutely boring, basically. And the trouble is, the mayor change, and these are the people who like, oh, the mayor's change, I'll now sell all that army and buy a new one because this is another best army. They'll just chop and change really nearly. So I'm very helpful. I'm very helpful. Obviously, to prove me the premier, we'll see what it's like in the first or few months afterwards when they sort of like realize all the mistakes they've made. There are some major rule changes, but I won't go into depth here because unless you know in depth about the old game, it won't make a lot of sense. And they're all fairly, they're like minor changes that will have big effects, but I'm certainly looking forward to it, and I'll be like a little child of glee when my box set arrives on my door next Saturday. I'll get back from the farm.
I hope you have fun, man.
Oh, I will. I'll be sat there. It's Space Marine versus Tyranids in the box set.
All right.
Yeah. Fair for say, becomes something. I'm going to make you guys play a game. Warhammer, because it'll be hilarious.
No. Oh, speaking of Zaber, apparently maybe August, we'll have to have a chat with him.
Oh, cool. That'd be cool.
Do we have time for Ramner's 24 hours in August?
I can make time.
Fantastic. You're a legend, Ram. There you go. You heard it here. Not probably the first, because we've said it before, but hey, this might be the actual one.
Yep, I'll make time in August. We'll have to conflab and work out what his actual dates are and work out from that. But yeah, I can make time, I'm sure.
Cool.
I have played a game as well.
You have?
I have. I've played a game called Old Man's Journey.
Oh, I've seen this one.
Yes. It's a neat little sort of point and click game / puzzle game. You start off, you're this old boy, looks a bit like Uncle Albert, and he's out in his little house sort of on the coast somewhere, and a postman turns up and hands him a letter. He gets the letter and he reads it, and after reading the letter he goes to his house and he grabs his like hiking gear and he starts a little travel, and you start his little journey. And you have to sort of take him around and go through things. But the sort of mechanic of the game is, it's 2D, but it's like got depth in the form that it's layered.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll have hills and stuff, like you sort of have to walk on the hills. But the hills, where the hills like intersect, like the layers, you can like move between hills.
Yeah.
But where it gets interesting is you can click and drag the hills up or down. So you can adjust the height of the hills and use this to basically navigate through the levels. You basically will, you know, adjust the heights of various hills. How this old man has this ability, I don't know.
Yeah.
But apparently he has the ability to affect the earth around him. And, you know, he's an earthbender, I suppose, you'd call it.
As all old men are.
It made me laugh a little bit, because like one of the first bits you come to where you use this ability, there's like a house you go up to, knock on the door, and then someone opens it and sort of like waves at you. But then to get past, you have to lift the mountain up in front of the house. And well, plus I thought, have I just like trapped that person in the house with like a mountain and left
them? You're damn right.
And left them to starve to death. I thought that took a dark turn awfully quick.
Dig your way out.
Yeah. So you move around. At the end of sort of each sort of like level, you'll usually find a place to sit down, take off your backpack, sit down. And he'll have a little, like, there'll be, like, stuff you have to click that'll, like, bring up a memory. And he'll have a little reminiscent. He'll, sort of, like, reminisce a little bit. And this memory tells a little bit of a story of the sort of, it's, they say it's an emotionally powerful story told in the, through just visual medium, but it's a story. And it tells you step by step, and you see, like, little visionettes from his life from when he was young to as he gets older and so forth. Which all then concretize the final part of the game. There was other sort of like the other sort of puzzle mechanics. There is a, you know, occasionally it's it. Now this is what makes it a AAA game. This makes it the best game ever. Instantly gets, you know, a thumbs up from me automatically. It's got sheep in it, and you can herd the sheep and make them move a little. Once they herd them, you sort of like they sort of move themselves. You just click on them and move off, and sort of like will get in your way and bar at you, which is very similar to what sheep actually do. And you sort of have to move the sheep around, sort of work your way around by moving the land and getting around them, and off you go. There's a few sort of like more interesting. There's one bit that sort of there's like a train where you're on a train and it's driving along. You have to like as you bit like you know that scene in Wallace and Gromit where Gromit's laying the track down as the train's going through. There's a bit. There's a bit in as you go along, the tracks will be on different levels. You have to drag them to line them up so before the train gets there, the tracks are in place. Again, how this train normally travels, I don't know. Unless there's lots of old men with earthbending powers to move everything about. That's all I'm assuming. Perhaps you just have you have driver, conductor, earthbender on board each train, presumably. But the whole story, it's a very neat little puzzle game. It's only about, I'd say, an hour and a half long. 2 hours, maybe. So it's fairly short. The arts, I love the art style. I think it's sort of like watercart style, because it looks like... it's either designed to look like it's like frames hand-painted, like the animation, or it actually has been hand-painted, like scanned in. Because you can almost see like the brush strokes change like each frame, with each frame in motion. I feel, though, it feels like that's a stylization choice to make it look like it is. I don't think it actually has been. But it still looks really neat.
Sure.
I love the art style. I like the music in as well. But it's a really neat little simple little game. It's a game you don't need to... It's a relaxing game. You can actually sit there. If all you need is the mouse, you know, let's lean back in your chair and just... don't have to worry too much about it. You just sort of like cruise your way through it. It's not just on Steam. It's also on Switch. It's also on Android. So you can pick up on Google Store. I think it's also on PlayStation. It's on lots of platforms.
I think I've seen the wife play it on iPad. I think that's where I saw it.
It wouldn't surprise me. It's on Android. It probably is on iOS as well. So like a fiver. Really neat little game. I say it's all enjoy my time of it. So, yeah, I'll give that one a little thumbs up. If you like sort of like slow, I suppose you'd say sort of like slow, gentle sort of gameplay, it works what it needs. And the puzzling is fairly straightforward. There's nothing particularly taxing. One bit that did throw me was the game teaches you can lift things up and down. There's one bit where you have to move things side to side. The game doesn't tell you can do that, but the game, no point does the game tell you can do that. You've got so used to just moving things up or down. I was thinking, why can't I reach that boat? And so I click on it, and I'm also used to things like you click on things in like the background. If you click on them, they'll usually interact a little bit. So I was clicking on the boat was interacting a little bit. It's like, oh, okay, just a little thing you click on. And eventually I tried clicking, oh, I can drag the boat left or right. Oh, thanks for telling me that, game.
Good job.
That's the only time in the entire game you have to do that. And you didn't bother to tell me. It's like, cheers.
Game's like, not a problem.
Yeah, cheers. But no, it's a fairly little neat little game. I like the sort of little story it gave. You find that the old boy's a little bit of a twat.
Always the way.
Always the way.
You don't get to be an old man without being a twat at some point in life.
It's sort of like, the sort of ending does sort of, it's sort of like, the ending does feel a bit strange at when you sort of think about it. I won't spoil the ending, feel, but after sort of, okay.
What a tit.
but he's sort of like, it's sort of like, it's implied that he's a bit of a trap, but it's implied that he's kind of right as well.
Always the way.
Yeah. So, but yeah.
You're only a twat because you're right.
Yeah. But yeah, other than that, yeah, very neat little game. So I would say, yeah, look, if you like the sort of site, it's basically the sort of category of walking simulators, really, in a way. If you like the sort of thing, yeah, pick up when you got a spare fiver.
Cool.
Go for it. Cool. That's it for me, Skaz.
I've got nothing, son.
There we go. So
hopefully on Monday I'll get my internet back and good stuff happens.
Hopefully so. Right, so thank you very much for joining us this evening. You can check us out on our next podcast, which will be on the 1st of July. You can also check us out on... you can check us out for that podcast. You can check us out on youtube.com/randnerds or twitch.tv/randnerds. You can also check us out on our next games night, which is on the 21st of this month, which is a few days' time. We'll be once again demoing it, and this time we'll try and beat the boss with more than 3 health left. I can't believe that. You know what I also thought afterwards? There's a point where I had a position where to move to, and I had 2 tall choices, and I picked the wrong one. And I realized my mistake after I picked it. I thought I shouldn't have moved there. If I'd moved left.
No, I did the same thing. I burnt a card, didn't think about it. Was like, don't worry, I can still make the move. I burnt a turn fucking using the card. Yeah. I was like, oh, you fool.
And the thing is, if we had moved there, I wouldn't have got hit by that thing, and I would have had enough health left that I could have took out the guy. It's like, fuck.
Yep.
That was yeah. But hopefully we'll get to see us actually defeating this time. So that'll be cool. So yeah, join us on that. You can switch our game stream channels for that. So I'll be on twitch.tv/thesufferingcrown.
And I will be twitch.tv/Skazius, SK4ZZI0US.
You can check out our website, randnerds.co.uk, and you know, check us out in the third place as well, and we are on Anchor for the podcast, or Spotify for podcasts now, if you want to check out the podcast there and subscribe. So thank you very much for watching, and we'll see you in a fortnight.
Take it easy, guys.